providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to shift a little bit away from the metals sector right now, although we will touch on it as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, let's talk big picture about these markets and starting off with what we're in the middle of here. Summer doldrums, slow summer trading, or at least that's what I'm seeing on a lot of the charts that I am following. Now, in the slow summer session, we have seen a little bit of the momentum to the upside from the U.S. equity markets wane. But that being said, we're recording this later in the day on Thursday, and U.S. equity markets, again, the S&P just hit some new all-time highs. Dana, let's just start off with this general summer doldrums. I know last summer, very different than this summer. We didn't experience this slow trading last summer. There was a lot to talk about and a lot of aggressive moves going on in the markets. What's your assessment of this summer, these slower trading sessions, how long it could last, and any data that you're seeing that does actually confirm that we just have less investors in the space right now?
Sure, Corey. Yeah, I'm not sure if it has as much to do with that. There is a seasonality bent to it, of course, that typically you see some slow trading in the summer months. And so it's not unusual for us to see that. On the other hand, I think a lot of it has to do with kind of the cycle, the near term, the intermediate term cycle. So last year, for example, you had the crash in March and then the recovery subsequently. So we had some momentum going through the summer months that aided in a little bit of more positive period last summer. This summer, we had that huge rally off of the election time last year, which we've talked about. So since we've, I think we've been talking about it ever since maybe March, April, or in around that period, that we had such a huge rally that it's only normal to consolidate or move sideways for a time just to work off those near-term excesses that were built up in that rally. And I think we're still in that phase. So it's not unusual to see some sideways action. It happens to be in the summer months, which might, you know, exacerbate kind of the doldrums, the slow trading. But I think a lot of it has to do with just working off those excesses following that rally since the that post-election rally that we're in. So right now, of late, we've talked about the most concerning thing that we've seen has been the kind of lack of participation over the last month to 6 weeks among in the broad market. We have seen, as you mentioned, the major averages continue to hit higher highs, continue to probe all-time highs. So that's a positive. On the negative side, we haven't seen the breadth and the participation among the broad market and the smaller and mid caps that we would prefer to see as the major averages are hitting highs, new highs. That would confirm that would confirm kind of the high quality, the sustainability of such a move. So from that aspect, it would kind of suggests that there's more to go in terms of this two-way market that we've been calling our consolidation phase. So we expect over the next, month to a couple months, more sideways action and continue to deploy the game plan that we've been using for over the last several months of just kind of a trading market. You know, buy the dips, sell the rips, don't get too aggressive, go for singles rather than home runs, as we've been saying, and manage risk both ways on the long side and short side within the range. And again, not playing for, you know, sustainable breakouts or breakdowns, just going more or less playing, managing risk within the range.
Yeah, Dana, that's a good point. When there's a choppy market, it makes for good trading to trade the lows, buy the lows and sell the highs. But there has been a trend overall of the general indexes to continue to climb higher. In fact, they quite often pull back to about their 50-day moving average and then get bought right back, head back up again. It doesn't seem like there has been a really sustained correction for some time. So do you think that any of this has to do with some of the momentum traders continuing to also trade that same range where they are almost hungry for the next dip to buy it, and then they sell the next rip, and it keeps things in this choppy channel. Do you think that's just the trend that everybody's doing? Because the other side of it that you mentioned, which is interesting, is there's not as much breath. There's not as many companies participating, and the volumes are lower in the summer. So it seems like everybody's squeezed into the same few dozen stocks, and that's where all the action is, and that's where the ETFs are. Do you think that we'll see this trend break down at one point and see more breath and see, you know, see more of a different pattern than what we've seen over, let's say, the last year?
Sure. Well, on the one hand, you make a good point. We're seeing clear uptrend still in the major averages and some of the higher relative strength sectors. So when we're seeing non-confirming breath, when we're seeing more of a trading range, it doesn't mean that we abandon the long side wholesale. We're going to still concentrate on the on a portion of our portfolio on the long side. We're going to concentrate those on the which we always do, on the high relative strength sectors, which by which I mean, you know, the best performing sectors, those areas of the market that are continuing to perform well and continuing uptrend. So the large caps, as I mentioned, technology, healthcare, and the like, will continue to buy the dips, as you mentioned, and take some off into take some profits as they hit new highs and get a little bit extended. So yes, on the long side of our book, we continue to buy those areas that are still working. On the flip side, those areas that are lagging, we'll continue to sell them into resistance or even short them. We are do have some hedges on that we continue to hedge into resistance and then cover those into pullback. So you can play both sides right now in this type of a market. But despite all of, as you alluded to, despite some of the concerns that we have in the broader market, there are still an almost always are some areas of the market that are working that you can continue to focus on the long side of your portfolio. On the flip side, with the breadth concerns that we have, those concerns tend to eventually have to be dealt with and reckoned with before a more sustainable upleg is put in place. So we do see the major averages continuing in their uptrend, which means you can continue to focus them on the long side. But with the lack of confirming breadth, with the divergences that we're seeing in the broader market, in the small caps and the mid caps, that tends to suggests that it might not be a sustainable move to new highs, which is one reason we are taking some off the table, even into new highs, once some of these averages are getting extended, because the non-confirming breath signals suggest that, like I said, it's not a sustainable move to new highs. Once we have some sort of a reckoning, some sort of a washout, more of a corrective move that resets at least sentiment, gets more people on the leaning bearish, brings averages back to more of a substantial support area that can provide more of a launch pad, then we will be more aggressive on the long side and expect more of a sustainable move to new highs. So the new highs are great. I would not be very aggressive at this point just because of the lack of breath. So, like I said, on one hand, focus those the long side of your book on those areas that are performing well. But don't be surprised if that's not a sustainable move to the upside. And eventually you have some more of a corrective move that puts markets in place for more of a sustainable move to new highs.
So, Dana, big picture, are you saying that these markets are really in need of a larger correction, a bear market almost, that lasts, well, much longer than that March correction does, but rather than the dips constantly being bought, we finally going to see a bear market for U.S. markets?
Not in the very immediate term. I'm calling for more of a not a garden variety pullback, I guess, in the major averages. We did see earlier, I guess, this week or the last or 10 days or so, we're seeing even on the slightest pullback, we're seeing good signs of an increase in fear and a kind of a rush to safety that to me suggests that we wouldn't need that big of a correction to put to reset kind of the investor sentiment to the point where we have enough negativity, enough bearishness that we can from contrarian standpoint put in a decent intermediate term low and put in a more of a sustainable up leg in the broader market. However, once we've talked about in the past, some of the background, some of the longer term signals in terms of valuations, in terms of household investment in stocks, which is now hitting all-time records again. So from a long-term standpoint, we're starting to see concerns of type of cyclical concerns, major bear market top or bull market tops and cyclical bear markets that we've seen in the past at major tops. So I don't think we're there yet. I think we get another nice move to new highs, but we should see maybe over the next couple months more of a shallower correction, but one that resets the sentiment picture, sets the breadth picture, and allows for at least one more nice push to new highs before some sort of a major top.
Yeah, Dana, you bring up an interesting point there as far as all the new market participants and the participation from particularly retail investors being at highs that it's never been before. There's more people, probably due to the lockdowns for a year and a half, but there's more people investing and opening trading accounts. And there were in 2020 and early 2021, there were still record numbers of new trading accounts being opened at number of brokers. And so most of those people have never been through a big correction. Even if we get a small corrective move that gets, you know, resets the parameters and moves up. We had talked off mic about some of the activity that you're noting that looks like end of cycle activity, just some of the stretched valuations, you know, the volatility indexes are still pretty low. And most of these new traders that piled in the market over the last year or so haven't ever seen a 20, 30, 40% correction that lasted more than a couple of weeks. So what do you think that will look like, or what will you be looking for on some of these end of cycle indicators?
Yeah, that's correct. That's a good point. We're seeing some, you know, signs of, like we saw back in like maybe 2000, the dot-com bubble, the dawn of internet day trading. We saw that kind of a trading orgy, if you will, with new avenues for trading, which basically was just ended up being new avenues for retail investors to lose lots of money. We're seeing that again now with, as you alluded to, the number of new trading accounts that are open now, zero commission trading, which just opens up investors to over trading and losing, opens up more avenues again for ways to lose more money for retail investors. So you're seeing just loads of people rushing and new people, amateurs rushing into the market. And you're seeing one statistic we like to track just because it has a longer term track record. It tracks the household percentage of household assets invested in stocks. And it goes back to the 1940s tracked by the Fed. And we saw just a major bubble in 2000. We saw it go to the extremes that we've never seen before in the history of the indicator. I didn't think we'd ever see those levels reached again, perhaps in my lifetime. I was wrong. We've just surpassed those 2000 levels. So households are now more invested as a percentage of their assets in stocks than they've ever have been before. So doesn't mean that a top is imminent, but it means there's more risk of losses in the market than there ever has been. And you guys all know that in the end, the retail investor does not win. The way the end of cycle kind of mechanisms work, like you alluded to, is the market always finds ways to suck the most people in and the most dollars in right at the worst time. So what seemed like an extreme in 2000 seemed like extremes at other major market tops. Eventually, we find ways to hit new extremes. And I think that's what we're in the process of doing now. I think, like I mentioned before, in the short term, I don't think we're on the verge of a major top here. I think things are still fine in the intermediate term for another up leg to this bull market. But in the background, in the bigger scheme of things, we're seeing a lot of troubling end of cycle stuff that, like you mentioned, that is lining up for a potential major top and potential devastating losses again for retail investors and household investors, like we've seen, you know, in the past 2000 and then 2007 and the housing bubble in 2006. So we're shaping up for that again, unfortunately. And unfortunately, that's one thing that's never going to change in markets, because human nature doesn't change. People, since the dawn of time, have put the most money in at the wrong time. And we're seeing that again, and we're going to see that again to another extreme before this is over, I think.
All right. Interesting comments there, Dana. And unfortunately, it is true. Retail, the households are always the last in the market, and they get burned the most on those corrections. Final quick comment. I just want you to touch on that whole inflation trade. It has come back. We saw gold rebounding this week. We also have seen base metals rebounding even earlier. It started a couple weeks ago, I believe. So overall, the inflation trade seems to be back in favor a little bit. Are you riding that wave?
We're trading that range, that wave. I think there's going to be another up leg to it. So we're trading bias to the upside in that inflation trade. Like you mentioned, industrial metals, copper, energy, crude oil, even the broad commodity indices like the CRB, for example. You got the grains that have all these things. The whole inflation trade had that big move into the spring or so. Early summer. It's just been consolidating since. So I think we're still in the consolidation phase. So right now we're trading it. Bought some into the pullback over the last week to 10 days or so. Taking some off the table now, as we think we're just still consolidating that that big rally that we had at the beginning of the year. But eventually, I do think there's another up leg to this commodity rally, to that inflation trade, before it runs its course. So yes, we'd be trading it right now, but certainly biased to the long side, because I think there is eventually another up leg to it.
Okay. Dana, thank you, as always, for sharing your insights on these markets. Dana, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And you know what? We'll chat again in another couple of weeks. And again, you're trading these markets, still riding some of these sectors higher, but some of those longer-term comments about some of the data that you're seeing that relates back to major market tops, put some more ammo in more of the bears camp. But again, maybe not right in the near term. Dana, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.